Hello and welcome back to the MRS Lab podcast from Flets MR, the show where we investigate topics on the fringes of market research in 10 minutes or less. Today, we're going to be talking about how insight professionals can find the right mix of data collection methods in a sea of ever-expanding options. Now, where I think it's important to start on this topic is the difference between data collection methods and the available technologies. The reason for this degree of separation is that one has expanded much more rapidly than the other. Some have even gone so far as to describe market research as having gone through a Cambrian explosion of technology. But the fundamental ways in which we collect data, process innovation, hasn't really changed all that much in the last half century. So let's start with a recap. What data collection methods are there? While surveys and focus groups are the most common answers, I want to take a step back from primary data collection and look at the whole landscape. From here, we can identify primary data collection methods, further split into qual and quant. But we can also consider secondary data collection methods. In this category, we'll find techniques like desk research, in addition to observational and passive forms of data collection. It's easy to overlook, but almost every touch point from website visits to point of sale and even average order value holds valuable information. In fact, nearly every business department holds a treasure trove of data. The real question is, how much is in there and how well is it shared across the business? At this point, you might be wondering why we're talking about existing data at all. After all, this episode is about finding the right mix of methodologies for collecting research data for research departments who have the greatest responsibility over primary data collection. And the answer is simple. We can't effectively determine what methods to use without first knowing what we already know, and consequently, what we don't. That's right. The best way to determine the right balance of data collection methods is a good old-fashioned audit. And to kick off the process, it's important to start with the right questions. What is important for each brand or department to know? You might need to seek their input on this question, but be choiceful in what you decide to include. There's a big difference between what a group may want to know and what they need to be successful. Second, what data is required to fulfill the needs of each brand and department? This involves translating those needs stated in the first question into types of data. For instance, a product team may want to know what developments should be in their pipeline. Therefore, the data points that will create this knowledge will likely be around product attributes, usage, even common complaints. Next, which data points already exist, and how can they be surfaced to the right teams at the right times? We're now starting to narrow down and pinpoint the areas in which we're going to need new data collection methods to supplement what is missing. To achieve this, we'll need to consider the business in its totality, and often, how to get existing data from the point of collection or storage to the right people and at the right time. Finally, the last question to ask is what data do we still need and what's the most appropriate way to collect it? Answers will, of course, differ greatly. However, the key point is that by going through these four questions in order, it's possible to direct your data collection efforts to where they're most needed, to where they will provide the most business value and avoid replicating knowledge that already exists. For many businesses, this will lead to a structure that is based on regular surveys at key touch points, both on the customer journey and at regular intervals throughout the financial year. Ongoing qualitative programs layered on top of this foundation, such as communities, regular stakeholder focus groups, etc., will provide in-depth explanations and emotional evidence to support these quant findings. And finally, there will likely be a need for ad hoc specialist tools to support with specific project needs as and when they arise. This might include observational ethnographies or diary studies, eye tracking or UX testing, in addition to new and emerging methods like facial analysis, prediction markets, or biometric measurements. Of course, your ideal mitts must also be carefully balanced against available resources. In cases where the need for data outstrips capacity, it's important to return to the four questions we discussed and add in a measure of business priority. To do this, a simple matrix of data points ranked by both business priority, how important they are to the decisions that stakeholders need to make, and collection effort, the amount you'll need to invest to collect the data, can provide a simple model for efficiently directing resources. Now, lastly, it's important to note the role of technology in methodology choice. It's surprisingly easy to be led by technological factors. What's available, what's affordable to you, what's new and exciting even. But the most successful research teams are those that start by asking what is needed and building a technology stack around that answer. Though when you do come to build your stack, be sure to break it down into the component parts that will enable you to collect, manage, and report on the full breadth of your data. Typically, a technology stack and associated processes should facilitate the following 7 stages of research. 1. Requests. What channels do you have for people to request research from yourself or others? 2. Recruitment. What sample will you need access to, and how are you going to gain access to these people? Will you use social media, a sample provider, a recruitment service? What options do you have available? 3. Data collection, what we've talked about today. What methodologies do you need in order to access a complete view of your customer and inform all the decisions the business needs to make? 4. Management. This can be both stakeholder management or participant management. What software and services facilitate this process? 5. Data analysis. What tools do you need to analyze the data points you gather? Is something like Microsoft Excel sufficient? Or do you need something with more automation, more sharing capabilities, more ability to build graphical reports? Speaking of which, point 6, reporting. How will you create your reports? Is it going to be relatively basic? Will it be presented in a PDF document, a PowerPoint presentation, a interactive dashboard? What will facilitate your reporting, and how do your data collection, management, and analysis tools link into it? And finally, point 7, activation. How are you going to distribute insights so that they're easily accessible to all stakeholders at the point of decisions? And what software do you need to better facilitate insight activation? We could talk about insight activation in a lot more detail. It's quite a new, emerging, and still relatively misunderstood subject. But we are out of time on today's episode. So on that note, I want to thank you for tuning in and joining us on this brief exploration of various data collection methods and how you can build the right mitts. We'll be back in a few weeks' time to discuss creative and emerging reporting techniques, including how you can really capture and hold decision-maker attention. Until then, I've been your host, Chris Martin, and this has been the MRX Lab.